Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. With unshakable certainty, we look forward to a righteous king, for God himself has promised. I will not lie to David, God said, nor alter the utterance of my lips. This hope for all the world has been transmitted by the people of Israel. It makes the Hebrew Scriptures unique. In his meditations on the Psalms, A.J. Overton enlarges on this oft-repeated promise based upon God's own faithfulness and truth. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Deeply embedded in the hearts of the truly spiritual in Israel was the messianic hope. God's promises kindled wonderful expectations and gave lofty aspirations. The prophesied future greatness of the nation and their king would result in genuine peace and manifold blessings for all nations. The foundation of this hope may be found in the special covenant God made with King David. Psalm 89, which we now consider, centers around this Davidic covenant with its inspiring messianic hope. We discover the Davidic covenant recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. Nathan the prophet delivered the message of this covenant from God to King David. At the heart of this covenant is God's pledge of a throne for David's dynasty forever. Psalm 89 especially emphasizes the words forever. Many of the scholars have considered this Davidic covenant as a rival in importance to the Sinai covenant. But the turn of events in Israel's history now appeared to contradict all God had promised. Psalm 89 presents the resulting painful tension. Yet the psalmist never exhibits bitterness, but rather humility. God's hand of discipline had been foretold in the Davidic covenant. Thus the question is not why, but how long. The experiences and expressions presented in Psalm 89 demonstrate how the man of faith often is compelled to view difficulties and calamities. How do we react in difficult circumstances and severe testings? Do we entertain the right thoughts of God when things perplex us? It is possible to know the God of all circumstances, to rest securely upon His promises, and to await confidently His unfolding of the issues. The problem may be connected with the public and national distress, producing an intellectual struggle, or it may be a personal conflict with this emotional suffering. All these God may use to bring us into the vital and genuine relationship to Himself and to teach us to cast ourselves upon His faithfulness. It is the hope kindled by His unchangeable promise that sustains the nation or the individual during the darkest hours. It was thus with the composer of Psalm 89. The first section, verses 1 through 37, set forth the worship and praise due to the faithful God of Israel. This beautiful poem extols the great Davidic covenant. Then in verses 38 through 52, Israel's sad condition is surveyed, which creates the great contrast between God's promises and Israel's plight. The very promises of God motivate the psalmist's inquiry and appeal to God. Finally, the 89th Psalm concludes with a doxology that closes both this psalm and the third division of the Psalter. The first stanza, verses 1 through 4, forms an introduction that sings the praises of God's many mercies and tells of God's sure covenant with King David. Observe, please, the joyful note. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. The psalmist creates, first of all, a sense of the greatness and goodness of Israel's faithful God. The song to the mercies of the Lord assumes that the chief of these are the sure mercies of David. God's abounding love and unfailing faithfulness impels the psalmist with a loud voice to worship, sounding forth his praise. This magnificent theme deserves unending reiteration, forever to all generations. This praise centers around God's covenant faithfulness. The substance of God's promise to David is now briefly presented. The testimony to the unchangeableness of God's great faithfulness appears in the very heavens. Here a reference is inserted concerning the rainbow that reminds us of God's ancient promise to Noah following the flood that this would never recur. God builds, the psalmist declares, perpetually the promised structure to David. Seven times in Psalm 89, the two attributes of God, faithfulness and loving kindness, upon which all the covenant is based, are mentioned. The psalmist knows that God's covenant with David and his posterity of an unending kingdom, dynasty, and throne cannot fail. All of us, my friends, knowing the failure and sin of David's life, and considering the waywardness of our own lives, have more than sufficient grounds to give testimony to God's faithfulness, loving kindness, and mercy. From this point onward in Psalm 89, God's attributes are rehearsed. The fulfillment rests on them. Allusions to God's creation power and His sovereignty over this creation dominate the sacred song. There is God's throne above David's throne. God is not incidental to the earthly scene. And the very heavens, peopled with myriads of angels, praise and continue to praise Him. They take note of God's promise to Israel and her king. And the heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord, and Thy faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God of hosts, who is like Thee? Strong art Thou, O Lord, and Thy faithfulness is round about Thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, Thou stillest them. The heavens are Thine, the earth also is Thine. The world and the fullness thereof Thou hast founded. The north and the south Thou hast created. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in Thy name. Not only does the psalmist extol the majesty, power, and sovereignty of the God of Israel, he speaks further of His moral grandeur. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Thy throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before Thee. Having thus proclaimed the attributes of the God of the covenant, the people of the covenant are mentioned. It is on their behalf the power of God is exercised in His loving kindness and faithfulness. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Thou art the glory of their strength. The Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. The faithful and spiritual ones in the nation grasped by faith these great promises and were made to rejoice. They grasped by faith these promises, and the joyful sound issued, that is, the festive trumpets, and their joyful cry of homage acclaimed the message of the covenant. They were not strong in themselves. He was the glory of their strength. The psalmist has spoken of both God and the people, He now presents a beautiful and exalted rehearsal of the messianic promise given to David with selected points for special emphasis. God's choice is important. I have found David. I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. His seed shall endure as the sun before me, as a faithful witness in heaven. The final portion of Psalm 89 opens with a sad change and contrast. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast spurned the covenant. The great and sovereign one who selected the royal personage and dynasty and blessed the nation has cast away, broken, and scattered. This conviction produces the final prayer, How long, O Lord? The closing doxology of the psalm and book 3 of the Psalms yet worships the Lord as the true and essential helper of his people. But God has not forgotten his covenant promise. The exalted terminology goes far beyond David to David's greater son, the true anointed one, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. In his incarnation and birth, in his sacrificial death, and in his victorious resurrection, he became the firstborn, the first begotten from the dead. At his return, he will be higher than the kings of the earth. Will you permit true confession and prayer to come from your heart and lips to him? Will you trust him? The prophet Hosea declares, Let us return to the Lord. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up.
Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.